Welcome to Season 7, The NGO Grit. This season, Just Talk Therapy podcast brings you the stories of some dynamic people who dedicated their time, money, energy, selflessly, just for a cause. They held humanity and environment first and thus made a difference in the society in their own ways. Today, we have a very zestful guest with us, Mr. Uday Krishna. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me, Hina. It's my pleasure.
Thank you for your time, sir. And if you could share with our listeners about yourself and the NGO.
Yes, please. This is Uday Krishna. I am an entrepreneur. I've been on my own for last almost 20 years now. So the NGO part had started almost in 2010. This was a coincidence when I was doing one of my other projects. There were about 16 trees that were impacted. So I was given permission to cut those trees. But this was during June-July time, nice monsoon, lot of rain. And I had the basic earth-moving equipment and cranes on hand. So a weird wild thought had come with, let me just move these trees using this equipment and see if they'll survive. Because I was told that, you know, these trees will not survive translocation. So that was like a challenge for me.
Okay.
So I found a lane close by where there were absolutely no trees. Spoke to the people who were living in that lane. I told them, I'll bring these trees and put them here for you free of cost. Will you be able to water them? So they looked at me a little weird, but they didn't, you know, mind because they didn't have to spend anything. And if things work out, they'll be having reasonably sized trees in front of their homes. So 16 trees were moved using a basic JCB, it's called a backhoe, and a crane, hydra crane, a 12-ton crane. These trees were moved, not scientifically, and no chemicals were used, nothing. So I just trimmed the roots and then moved the trees with the help of the crane and planted them at these locations, right beside the lane right beside the project where I was working. So to my surprise, about 13 trees had survived.
That's nice.
So it would have actually been 15, but two trees, unfortunately, somebody had lit they had burned some trash under the tree, so I think that really didn't go well, obviously. And those two trees didn't make it. So 13 trees made it. So that was like a very big a breakthrough, or you would call it a revelation, that, you know, trees that the department considered not translocatable, I very, very unscientifically, you know, not even following any proper guidelines or process, I could translocate them and they survived. So that was the beginning of the one big phase of my life. And, you know, Vata Foundation, as a foundation, the thought process had started in 2010.
So, before we continue, your foundation is known as Vata. So does it mean anything?
Yes, Vata means word. It's what in Telugu, it's called Vata Vruksham. In Sanskrit, word in Hindi called word is banyan tree. It's a tree of life.
Okay.
So if you see the foundation's logo, you'll see the logo actually is from the Indus script, and in Indus script that is how Tree of Life was written. So basically, it consists of all these ficus trees like banyan, you know, umber, peepal. These are all Tree of Life. So yes, Vata has a lot of meaning, and it's not a short form of any, it's not like an abbreviation. That is a full name. But purposefully, we have given it in a capital letters because that raises a question, and we get the opportunity to educate people on what it really means.
So I am educated today.
Thank you. So absolutely. So it always works. So yeah, but it does mean Tree of Life, that's Vata Foundation.
And you had given, like, your stepping stones towards this field itself was by giving life to those trees which were otherwise thought of, like, you know, they could not be as a living species if they were translocated.
Yes. So, yeah, so the thought process had started from those 16 trees where, you know, the department saying they're not translocatable, and then me having experimented and then successfully surviving. So that really started a thought process where in the next few years, wrapping up my work and then getting some more additional, you know, free time to spend on this subject, I started, you know, the foundation, Vata Foundation, in 2015. It was actually a little earlier I started, but that was a different name and there was some name conflict, so I had to change it to Vata Foundation. So officially 2015 is when I started Vata Foundation, and the aim was, we had three objectives I had. One is to save the tiger, which is a very generic title I would tell, but under Save the Tiger, the objective was to adopt jungles and make them tiger friendly.
Okay.
So that was one objective. Second objective was, now you have these jungles located in different areas, like you have in Telangana, there's a jungle tiger reserve called Kaval in Adilabad. Then there's one jungle called Tipeshwar in Maharashtra. These are very close by. Both are, you know, one is inside Telangana on the border and other is in Maharashtra on the border side. So tigers from one jungle to other jungle, they move. When a tiger is over 2 years old, when it becomes a sub-adult and it's over 2 years old, it has to leave the jungle that it was born in and find its own jungle. So these tigers move between jungles using a space called the tiger corridor.
Yeah.
That also is a jungle, but not a protected area. So these are fast disappearing. So basically the routes from one jungle to the other jungle, which animals, including the tiger, uses to move around, to migrate, are disappearing. So the second objective of the foundation was to strengthen these corridors to enable free movement of these animals. That was the second objective. Third objective, being based out of Hyderabad, which was, you know, back in 2010 to 15, those years, development was really taking off, and lots of trees were being cut. So based in Hyderabad, just, you know, watching trees get cut while at the same time having experimented and saved 16 trees, third objective was to save the urban greenery by translocating.
Okay.
So under the translocation objective, what I have done is basically set the guidelines or set the principles or policies of the foundation, which basically are, now we have a project in, say in Hyderabad, where we are building a flyover. The footfall impacts about, say, 300 trees. So those days, the norm was basically the R&B or whichever department is constructing the flyover would put in a request to the we have a tree protection committee, letting them know that, you know, we are building a flyover from point A to point B and so many trees are impacted, so give us permission to cut these trees. So this committee would come, they'll survey the entire stretch, they'll identify all the trees and then give them the permission to cut so many trees, translocate so many trees, or retain so many trees. There are three different permissions they give, options. So what I found out was about 85 to 90% of trees were systematically just being given permission for felling.
That's like a big number.
Yeah. And this protection, and this, you know, the committee is called a tree protection committee. But on the ground, actually about 80-90% of every project that they were touching, they were giving permission for felling. Of course, they would say, you know, for every tree cut, you will have to plant tree saplings, blah, blah, all those other rules are there which never get implemented. Like, you know, I cut a tree, I can plant tree saplings, and there ends the story. Nobody is going to ask me to ensure those tree saplings grow into trees.
Right.
So that was that's a different subject. I won't go there. So this was a case where I said, okay, fine, then we should look at saving the trees that the government is going to cut. or the department is going to cut, not translocate. So out of 300 trees, if 290 trees have been marked for felling, these 290 trees is what my aim is to save. Now
that's like also a very bigger challenge then.
It is. But then mm-hmm. still, you know, in 2015, when we went behind the first lot of trees of 198 trees, I had to go file a PIL. I had to file a PIL to get permission because the department was not giving me permission to translocate those trees. So the department in the court argued saying that it's a revenue loss for the government. That is why we don't want to give this foundation the permission to translocate these trees. So on further deliberation, it was found out that, you know, they were looking at the wood as a revenue.
Okay.
And, you know, not that saving a tree was not anywhere in the picture. So the judge was quite furious and he obviously gave us the order to, you know, save these trees. But then I realized, now how do I tackle this kind of situation where, you know, the government is not giving me the permission? So the thing about free of cost was added. So I go to the government and tell them, you're building this flyover, you're cutting down 300 trees, you have the permission to cut down 300 trees. I want to save those 300 trees free of cost. You just give me a permission. Say, yes, you can do it. That's it.
That would have been an easy cakewalk then.
Yeah, so I thought, you know, now they will not have any reason to say no.
Correct.
Because I'm saying it's free of cost. In spite of that, we have instances where the government wouldn't give us permission. Sometimes they would, but sometimes they would not.
That's strange.
That is on the ground reality. So, but basically, that was the guideline that on which the translocation objective was framed. We translocate all the trees that the government wants to cut down for developmental work for free of cost. We don't touch the trees amongst that same batch where the government has permission to translocate them, because those they will have to anyway translocate.
Correct.
So that is how the guidelines are framed, and we've been working on these guidelines since then. So, and, till date, over 2,500 trees, we have physically translocated and saved, out of which around 80-85% was the survival rate. Some projects we had almost 100% survival rate.
So you have a team like. Then who funds the process?
So now the other tough part of all this thing is getting the funds, because we are talking about equipment which is very expensive. And the first initial month itself, I had a little not a very good experience in some raising funds. So it was decided initially itself, 2015, that we will not apply for any the tax exemption, ATG 12A, because we don't want to attract any CSR funds. So there were two reasons for that. One, obviously, I can't really share it on, in the public domain, but it was not a ethical option, was one experience. Second thing, now translocation as a subject in 2000, around 2010 and 15, not many people knew that, a fully grown tree can be lifted from one place and put in a different place.
I presume still many people would not know about it.
Yeah, and you are actually true. But its situation today is a little better. So what I have done is I said, okay, fine. Now we will not raise any funds from any companies. It has to be beg, borrow, steal. So we have to go hit the social media, hit the all available platforms, and get whatever help possible through these medias only. Two objectives. One is you are spreading the awareness. That was the best way to spread awareness. And it really worked. Because the media, the print media really supported us. The print media was actually, right from 2015 onwards, the print media was behind. I mean, it was solid support we had got from the print media. So to a point where, in the season, sometimes I get a call almost every week from many, many different papers. They just want to know, am I doing something this week? We want to
Okay.
write a positive story, sir. They are so fed up writing all these totally useless stories. They want some nice thing to write. So they would call and ask me, do you have any work going on right now? We want to write a story on this. Repeatedly, it's not once in everything, but repeatedly the same papers would keep writing about us, and that really helped in spreading the awareness. So today, now the awareness point of view, Chevalla banyan trees is one very hot subject that is going on in Hyderabad nowadays, I mean since last 2 3 years. So 2 years back I had actually run a change.org petition, and there was one highway which was being built in Hyderabad, close to Hyderabad, Chevalla, where about 980 banyan trees were getting cut.
Really?
So 980 banyan trees, yeah. So when I got to know of this particular project and did a little inquiry, I found out that these trees were literally sold off for 450 rupees each to the contractor. So at that stage, I had stepped in and I said, no, these trees, they were 980 banyan trees, it's not a small number. So I said, I will translocate all of them. Don't cut down even a single tree.
Listening to you, like, I am speechless. Like,
So,
what is happening?
I had no clue how, what, when, nothing. I said, first thing, let me just stop these trees from being cut. We'll figure out.
Okay.
So then I started a change.org petition. Got very quickly 35,000 signatures. That put a lot of pressure on the NHAI project director. Simultaneously, I was lucky enough to go meet Nitin Gadkari ji. So I happened to meet him, and I was surprised. I went with a little note, a booklet with all the pictures and all the write up. So then when I told him Chevalla trees and Vata Foundation, he says, yeah, I'm aware of you guys. So that was like a very big certificate I got. He's like, he knew what I was doing in Hyderabad for that highway. He knew I was trying to stop it. And he said, yeah, we'll relook at this. You come to Delhi. Today, Nitin Gadkari ji has introduced translocation as the option for any of the highways that he's building.
So were those trees then eventually saved or something? I'm just intrigued to know.
So the Chevalla banyan trees still stand in their place today. The highway has not been widened, though the need for widening the highway is pretty critical. There's a lot of accidents happening almost on every single day. So they will be translocated, is what I can say at this point. I can't give much information
Yeah,
because
sure.
there's something, it's a little delicate subject at this point. But yeah, none of the trees will get cut. They will either be retained or they'll be translocated. That much I can assure.
Appreciate your sharing part, and I totally understand. Sir, I would also like to know, like, in all this journey, did you have any low moments? And if so, like, then how did you cope? Because I'm sure there must have been some.
That's on a see, it's like a seesaw. Sometimes
Absolutely.
you get lucky, sometimes you don't. You do end up saving trees, sometimes you don't. But yeah, there was one major downside, or a very hard episode, which will probably stay in my mind for a long time, and I've not really overcome it yet. Last year, there's one road widening happening near Hyderabad. Gandhipet was the location. So about 288 trees were going. So I asked for permission to save. There were 244 trees were getting cut, and out of that, 200 trees were biodiverse varieties. So I wanted to save these 200 trees. Naturally, even as expected, the permissions were not given. So I had to go to court. So the court gave a stay and asked RNB to consider my request to save these 200 trees. In spite of that, RMB didn't let me save even a single tree. And they were playing so dirty in the sense that, they were trying to force me to translocate the trees that they are supposed to translocate. So in 280 trees, the tree protection committee gave them permission to translocate 40 odd trees and cut the remaining. So obviously my target is to save the trees that the government is cutting, not the ones that they're supposed to translocate, which they will anyway have to do.
Right.
This guy, RNBD, was trying to force me to translocate the trees that he's supposed to translocate, and that too free of cost. I said, I'll do it. Let me save the other 200 trees. Those he didn't want me to save. I think there was this big firewood mafia, whatever thing was going on in trust. This was during COVID second wave. So the demand for firewood was very, very high, and this guy just wanted to cut those trees. So I didn't end up saving even one tree. And it didn't end over there. The case was still going on. So now the case is being, it's come back to the hearing stage. And now RNB tells the court that we have given him permission to translocate the trees. He has not translocated. So
Shifting
that
from one
is,
thing to the other.
so he was trying to confuse the court by saying that, he wanted me to translocate the trees, which he's supposed to translocate for free of cost. He wanted me to do that for free
So
of cost.
then,
He wanted to.
you did mention that you have still not yet come, overcome that feeling.
Yeah, the case is still going on, so
It's
and
simply
I
sad.
don't and I don't want to, let him get away so easily. 200 trees is a lot of trees, and and I would probably want the court to look into it, deeper, and then hopefully give justice so that it doesn't repeat in the future, basically.
Right.
Yeah, so it doesn't repeat
So
in the
do you
future.
work in only this location, or is it Pan India that you are extending your work?
See, I started in Hyderabad thinking, Hyderabad is a big enough place to keep me busy. But today we operate in six different states already. In this whole journey, I managed to be given a title called the Tree Man of India. So it gives me goosebumps still, getting such a big title was never expected when I started the work. But then looking back at
That is
all
like what environmental
this.
crusaders are for.
So, but I didn't, obviously you don't imagine so big when you start off. You start off little and then slowly, slowly you start doing work, and then you realize, yeah, after a certain time that you kind of done good enough work. So,
Absolutely.
yeah,
Thank you
but
for doing that work.
more than anything, it's a very good feeling when you spread the awareness. And today, as on date, Telangana, Andhra, Maharashtra, Goa, UP, sorry, Madhya Pradesh, just now added was Dehradun. So these are the places where we have already worked to save trees. And every day, literally every day, I get at least two or three calls on my number, which is like a public number now, where people want to get help to save trees, or they want to report some road widening happening and some trees are getting cut, or somebody's illegally cutting trees. All kinds of tree related calls I get on my number almost every day, at least two or three calls.
So
So
now, if you can share any of your social media link or the number that is public, so that
yeah.
people can actually know more about the work and see as to how they can also contribute.
Yes, we are active basically. See, ours is a volunteer-based organization. We don't have any permanent members except
Right.
for the trustees, who are two or three trustees is what we have, which are permanent. But rest of the members are all volunteers. So I have to I physically handle all the social media for the foundation while doing my other work. I'm active on Facebook. We have a page on Facebook, Vata Foundation, and we are very active on Twitter. So Twitter, you do a search on Vata Foundation, you'll find us. Facebook, you do a search on Vata Foundation, you'll find us. And my number, this number, which is 9848023029. This is a number that people call on, and it is my personal number. It's not like a foundation number. Even otherwise, you just do a Google search on Vata Foundation and you put in contact, you'll get my number. So I think that is how many people reach me. They do a Google and they get my number on the internet.
So this is to all the listeners. If at all you are interested or connect with the work sir is doing right now, then please go through his social media links. I will be sharing in the post as well. And see as to how you can make a difference in saving the lives of the trees actually.
So there are three ways, you know, anyone can help us. One is to report, in a sense, like, you know, they see some trees being cut, they see some scope for saving some trees in their areas, they can bring it to our notice. Second
okay.
is to come and volunteer. They can volunteer with our work, and most of the work gets posted on the social media when we start the work. So ours is not a planned work, actually. So we, because there is no plan to save trees. When somebody is cutting a tree, that's when you have to go save it. And it can be any time of the year, anywhere, you know, we have to be ready for that. Third way to contribute is to fund our initiatives. So I have 100 trees I want to save, so they can help me either by providing equipment for that, or, you know, they want to details on how much it's going to cost, we provide that, and they can help sponsor that equipment. But breaking the norm, which actually I just, in the beginning of your show, I said we don't take any CSR funds. So I had to deviate from that this year to 2022. Because
okay.
now we have entered into so much of work, and there's so much of pressure from CSR contacts also, that they want people who are actually doing genuine work. So there are genuine companies who want to actually contribute. So we had to get into the CSR area. And so now we are registered under the CSR, ATG and 12A, and haven't raised any funds yet, but we are open to project to project. We want to look at taking help from any companies. So a lot of companies are wanting to do environmental work these days, and not finding genuine, you know, NPOs who are actually working in this area. So we are doing that now. We just started it this year.
You're doing very inspirational work, I must say.
Yeah.
And
so,
any memory that you would like to share, any anecdote or anything?
Memories, the best part is we keep creating them as we speak, as we work. And I didn't really share the other side of the work that we are doing in a jungle. Vata Foundation has actually adopted a jungle in Maharashtra called Tippeshwar. In this jungle, we do a lot of work, and this year has been phenomenal. I'll tell you how. So, but otherwise, since 2015, we've been working in the jungle. We planted about, donated about 3,500 saplings. Every alternate year, I give the entire ground staff jackets and shoes so that they can, you know, work comfortably during winters and monsoons in harsh conditions. I provide water tankers. The foundation gives them water tankers to fill water for the animals in summer. Because in summer, you see what happens, this is a dry jungle, Tippeshwar. We have these solar pump-based water sources. We call them little water sources. Sometimes the solar pumps die down and there's no water for the animals. So this tanker is used to fill those sources. But this year, 2022, we've actually done a tremendous amount of work. The highlight of which is we've created two lakes inside the jungle for animals.
Wow, that's
so
nice.
So this I feel very, very fortunate that the Forest Department, Maharashtra Forest Department, allows me to do these kind of work in the jungle. So I have created two new lakes which will hold rainwater, and in the next few years they will be holding water 365 days a year. So that's like a very major milestone for us in Water Foundation. And incidentally, just 2 days back was when the second lake was completed. So it is just like we just finished it just now.
And the rains have started, like.
Rains have just started.
Yeah.
Rains have just started. So
it will be
timing.
Full? Correct.
It will, yeah, it will get full. It will get full. Yeah.
All our
so
wishes.
These are the memories that, we are going to be carrying with us for a long time.
Absolutely. I mean, I can feel the thrill because, yes, nature is always so awe-inspiring also, and you building the corridor and trying to rejuvenate that passage for the tigers and other animals likewise. This is a very big effort.
It is. It's quite tough work also. I mean, we work in really tough conditions. All my volunteers, they work in IT companies, some of them own businesses, some of them are farmers, some also have their own NGOs. But when I send out a message saying, okay, so many trees, so many places, who's available, immediately I get three or four names who are like very regular, and they come anywhere. So, I'll give you one example. One tree in Machilipatnam, which is about 7 hours away from Hyderabad by road. We started at 3 o'clock in the morning, drove down, put the tree back up, it was a fallen tree, and came back by night. And these kind of projects we have done numerous. So, very hard work, working with very heavy equipment on the road, in the sun, throughout the day. I'm very fortunate that, my volunteers have that faith in me, and, all this crazy passion that I have. And they all they are willing to spend time away from their family in harsh conditions to join me in saving some trees, which I feel is very, very fortunate.
So on behalf of all the listeners and from myself, I thank all the volunteers, the entire team, and to you for doing such an exemplary work.
Thank you, Ina. Thank you so much.
And what's the message for the youth, if you would like to just say it?
For today's youth, I will just advise them to, keep their eyes and ears open and listen from their heart, because every person has a passion. It's only that we don't really listen to our inner voice to identify what the passion is, and we don't put in the courage to follow what our heart wants us to, So I will advise them to listen to their heart, to see which area they would want to start work, and don't look at small or big at all. Everything starts from a very small stage. So my journey as the founding trustee of Water Foundation started with 16 trees way back in 2010. And today we are, we have done thousands of trees, and indirectly we have saved more than 50 to 60,000 trees, which is very, very big numbers. And we never even imagined that this was possible.
So it's like from trees to jungle.
Trees to jungle. And I'm in my wildest dream, I was a wildlife photographer, but I never in my wildest dream ever thought I could create a lake for a tiger in the jungle. So had I not dreamt back in 2010 and then followed my passion, I wouldn't have really achieved what I've done so far. And there's so much more to do. Yeah, so I'll just tell today's youth, to keep listening to their heart and then find areas where they can start contributing to nature. But this is one area where we really need a lot of help.
Absolutely. And I'm sure after listening to you, they will be listening to their heart and trying to identify their own passions and doing justice to it. But
that'll be wonderful.
Your place then is like on my bucket list. I will definitely make sure to come and visit the jungle part.
You should. And it'll be my pleasure to show you around, to show you the work that we do.
Absolutely.
And you know, at any point in time, either you or the listeners want to start something and they have any kind of idea or they want some help or whatever it is, me and my volunteers are always ready. So they can always call us.
Thank you so much, sir, for sharing such a wonderful and inspirational story. That is the reality of life.
Thank you, Hina. Thank you for actually giving me the opportunity to, you know, open out my heart and talk to your listeners. And it's been a real pleasure. Brought back some nice memories for me also. And all the best for you. You're doing a wonderful job by bringing, you know, out a lot of these stories. And I'll look forward to listening to many more stories, inspirational stories, and, you know, get inspired a little more from your talks.
Right now, I'm getting inspired, like, definitely. This is, like, a very serious issue also, wherein urbanization is taking on such a rampant speed, you know, by extension point of view. So this is very important.
Yeah.
Thank you,
sure,
sir,
for
your time. Hope to see you.
Sure. Thank you, Hina.
Thank you.
Really nice being on your show. Thank you and all the best.
Honor is all ours. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Mr. Uday Krishna, the Tree Man of India, with his NGO, Vada Foundation. The simple gesture of accepting a task as a challenge when he started his journey paved way to more challenging work, like building corridors for animals, seeking permission from authorities to save the trees which were otherwise allowed to be cut, convincing people the importance of saving biodiverse trees, adopting jungles, and last but not the least, his recent work of creating lakes for tigers and other animals in the jungle. This is indeed a Herculean task, which needs grit, passion, discipline, and dedication. Mr. Uday's vision is to have a team in every city so as to create awareness and thus slow down the rate of deforestation. This will not only help in protecting but also improving both the environment and lives of every creature dependent on trees, directly or indirectly. So do connect with him if you see, as he had shared, any tree-related concerns in and around your area. Let us unite, be more vigilant, and take the onus of saving the environment collectively. On that note, I end today's episode. Hope to see you next week with another guest and their inspirational journey. Till then, take care and be safe. Bye.